Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Yankees beat the Orioles again. You fully expect them to sweep the series and continue to beat up on what is a terrible baseball team. It's not something that I think that we take lightly. We're not going to say that, you know, this is the Yankees aren't any good because they're beating up on the Orioles, because last year they didn't do that. And they're 19 games over 500 right now, which is just an insane number when we're sitting here on May 19th. So good for them. And when people talk about, you know, comparing them to where they are in this season to the 1998 Yankees, where they were, and I just think it's a numbers thing to kind of show you how good the start is. I mean, if anybody's actually comparing the 1998 Yankees to this team, I mean, I think that's foolish, because that was a team that had already won a championship in 96, went back to the playoffs in 97, obviously won in 98, won in 99, and then won again in 2000. So it's a very difficult comparison to make, because that was a team in the middle of a dynasty as opposed to what the Yankees have, this current Yankee team has been doing. But it's an incredible start. They don't lose. The pitching's been great. And yes, they've got some soft teams on the schedule, which will continue with the Guardians coming up. And then also, you know, the White Sox, which are better. But then I believe the Guardians are in there, and then the Orioles again.
Yeah, so they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. I just think that, and I was just telling you in the break, that when something goes haywire in a game and the Orioles are involved and they are on defense or they're running the bases, inevitably they're making some sort of error or mistake.
Oh, yeah.
And the Yankees have capitalized pretty much on all of it. And the Yankees have played pretty good defense, too, by the way. And right now, here we go. We're sitting here. It's May 19th. And I think back to about 3 months ago, and the screaming and the yelling about Brian Cashman and the Yankees and the decisions and Isaiah Kiner-Falefa and Josh Donaldson instead of Carlos Correa. And what are we going to do here? And Hicks,
I mean,
sucks.
So far, so good. Yeah.
I mean, it was just Hicks still kind of sucks. But, yeah. Non-stop.
Yeah.
And here they are, best team in baseball. They don't show any sign of letting up. They've been lucky. The injury bug has been a minor for them as opposed to the Mets, where it is major. But, hey, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And like every day that I would wake up and go to the ballpark thinking that I'm a New York Yankee in the midst of this, I don't want to be the guy that lets the team down. So they got a little bit of that going on for them right now, which is pretty good motivation.
Yeah, I don't even think Brian Cashman thought that it would work out as well as it has this early. I mean, this is insane. Hey, they win today. They're 20 games over 500 in late May.
You've had Stanton and Judge basically hitting at the same time.
Yeah.
Which has been
and
really
being
good.
Healthy at the same
which
time and real, hitting at the same
right,
time.
Which has been really, really good. That's what's going on here. I mean, they're getting great middle pitching. Cortez has been great. Seems like Cole has worked out whatever the issues were.
Sure.
And look, man, they are a juggernaut right now. And if you compare them to 98, so what? You compare them. It's just numbers and totally different teams, of course. But I just think that when you turn that TV on now and you're a Yankee fan, you are expecting to win every single game.
Yeah, absolutely, which is basically what they've done. By the way, you see this Yankee prospect who was cut from the organization last Thursday, Jake Sanford, as he was stealing equipment from his teammates in order to sell it. So apparently NJ.com reported that Sanford repeatedly hounded, I'm reading from SI right now, repeatedly hounded his teammates to give them their bats, gloves, and other equipment. And sometimes he just took it from their lockers without their consent. So he was also, on top of stealing from his teammates, this guy seems like a real peach, on top of stealing from his teammates, Sanford was also accused of scamming fans online by selling autographed equipment, but never actually sending it.
So, Jake Sanford, you suck. Get out.
See ya.
Sure.
Yeah, see ya. But yeah. By the way, he was supposed to be, he had a good stick.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, supposedly.
For the short porch?
Yeah, they were thinking, well, I don't know about the short porch, but, you know, I was reading a little bit about him. You know, they had some decent hopes for him. He was probably going to be traded for a pitcher anyway, you know, come trade deadline. Who knows?
Well, I mean, it sounds like this is a guy who needed some money desperately. That's what it sounded like. So, I mean, or he just was a klepto and couldn't help himself.
That's true. That could also happen as well. But, you know, remember those guys in the minors, they'll make that much money.
No, I know. And maybe he got himself in some trouble with some debts or something. I mean, who the hell knows? But, I mean, he was going to some extreme lengths and some illegal lengths to getting some money. Who was it that did this with the Yankees who was actually on the big club? Remember?
It was like Ruben Rivera or somebody.
Ruben Rivera. Like, yeah, did he steal like Jeter's glove or something or whatever? He was taking stuff from Derek Jeter's locker to sell it.
I'm sure I've been in locker rooms where the same thing has happened. I don't ever remember an instance where we actually spoke about it or where somebody got held accountable.
Plus, the memorabilia business has exploded since when you were playing.
True, but, you know, there were, you know, guys would bring money to work, and you know, if you didn't lock your locker, you know, who knows?
Yeah, right.
I think now they have cameras pretty much everywhere, so it's easy to catch these guys. This guy,
I know. And then he's telling fans, "Oh, here's some autographed stuff," and they never send it to him.
He's also frauding the fans too.
I know.
Who knows what his issue? He obviously has some issues.
Yeah, clearly.
Yes.
That's some skivots behavior there, if I've ever seen him. All right, Rangers lose last night. Very frustrating fashion. 877-337-6666. Controlled the play the first two periods. Did not in the third period, of course. Game gets tied with less than 3 minutes to go, and you lose in overtime on a fluky goal from a guy who never scores. And, of course, it gets deflected off of Lindgren. Shesterkin had no chance, and now you're down 1-0 in a game that you should have won in a building that was completely dead early on in this game. I really thought the Rangers went in there, silenced everybody, and were going to take a game. And Carolina, it didn't work out that way. Let's go to Brett in Manasquan. What's going on, Brett?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up? What do you got for us?
Man, I'm dying here. I'm driving to work, and the game last night killed me. The first two periods, fans were dead, Rangers were skating, killed the forecheck. Third period, we were a different team. Awful.
Well, they were a different team, too. You have to remember, Brett, the other guys get paid, too. You know, Brind'Amour, their coach, changed up their three top lines and started interspersing guys back and forth, and that seemed to ignite them, especially on their forecheck. And, you know, Igor had to make a couple tough saves there, but not a lot. I mean, they kept them outside for the most part and kept them out of the middle of the ice. Problem is that our two top lines generated barely any sort of offensive push whatsoever, especially in the third period.
Where was the coach for the Rangers? No timeout, nothing. We were getting, that third period was awful. I thought we'd call a timeout, slow them down a little bit. Nothing.
Yeah, it's easy to say that now. There was never a moment where, I thought the second period, a couple times they got caught out on the ice because of the long change, and I think Trouba was out there for like over 3 minutes in one shift.
Yeah, I mean, they commented on it on the broadcast.
Yeah.
And Trouba's been out there for a long time.
Yeah, I the other thing, too, is, you know, when you have your opportunities, we always say this, you got to bury them. And Capo Caco and Filippito both had amazing opportunities, as did Ryan Reeves, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
All three had grade A, top, you know, chances to extend the Ranger lead, and they didn't do it. And then I look back, and I say, okay, what did Kreider do? What did Vetrano do? What did Mika do? What did Panarin do? What
not
did
much.
Strom do?
Yeah, not much.
What did Kopp do? Like, they didn't do anything offensively. Now, defensively, they were playing smart. And then when you look at the goal that tied the game, both Mika and Mika may have just come off the bench. I'm not sure. But
Mike Zibanejad.
Right, but Mika and Panarin were late getting down the middle, and that's one of the reasons why Aho was left alone.
Alessandro in Sycamore Park. What's up, Alessandro?
Hey, guys. You guys are the bomb.com. You guys are the greatest show in America. Morning show. Love you guys. And just want to talk Ranger hockey. Love your insight, Gio. And Boomer, it was a pleasure to go to your charity event out in Bayshore. I want to know your thoughts. who did a better job coaching? Was it Ron Brindamore? Was it Gallant? You know, the power play. You know, I thought the kids played really well other than Kako missing the open net. You know, the crowd was quiet, but we just wanted your insight on what's going on.
Well, I think Brindamore, by changing up his lines in the third period, obviously gets a star for that because it ignited them. But as you heard Brendan Smith, the former Ranger, talking, you know, after the game, Jerry had the cut earlier. He said, you know, in between the second and third periods, we had a conversation in the locker room that we were not happy about the way that we were playing. So I think you have to remember that there are two teams out there. The Rangers are playing a certain way. And I think all of us as Ranger fans expected that third period to be like a barrage on Igor Shesterkin. And it really it wasn't as bad as it was against the Penguins. There's no question about that. Just that the Rangers didn't offer anything offensively. Like, one of the ways that you would like to slow a team down is to hem them in their zone. That didn't happen at all in the third period for the Rangers. You know, the Rangers' third line, the younger line, the Capo, Kako, Filippito, and Alexei Lafreniere line, they were all over the place. They were buzzing. They were getting opportunities.
Yeah.
Lafreniere hit the post. Kako missed an open net. Hedl was right on the doorstep, and he Antti Raanta got his save.
Easy for me to say, but you want to
lift that puck if you can.
Lift it up if you can. Yeah.
But I think that line, you know, that's our future. That and Braden Schneider and, of course, Keandre Miller and Adam Fox, those are our future guys. Those are the future of this franchise over the next 5 to 7 years. And they're coming on. You could see them getting better. And they weren't the ones that were making the mistakes last night. You know, it was the older guys that made a few mistakes and also did not engage offensively. 5-on-5, we were not great 5-on-5 other than that line.
Let's go to Mike, who is in Bay Shore. What's going on, Mike?
How you guys doing?
What's up?
So, I know Boomy, you just said that, you know, it's easy to say that Kalon shouldn't call that timeout with like 2 minutes and 57 seconds left. But I really think if he would have called that timeout, he would have settled them down. And I like your point about how, you know, the kids are playing really well. That's our best line. And Panarin is a bit of jab. They got to get going if we're going to win this series.
Well, sure. It's obvious. I mean, you can't win it's very hard to win a 1-0 game in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It just is, especially on, opposing team's ice.
Yeah, 2 minutes away from doing it, too.
I think we all felt it at the same, like, we all felt it. I was getting text messages left and right last night. Like, man, I know they're going to come out flying out of the locker room to start the third period in regards to the Hurricanes. And again, you know, Brindamore, their coach, juggled their lines, and it ignited something. Now the question is, you know, game two, Friday night. It's a Friday night. It's going to be all on, and it's going to be madhouse there.
Yeah, when is that puck drop on Friday night?
8 o'clock.
It is 8?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's Friday at least.
Right.
You know. I usually hate the 8 o'clock start.
Oh, I hate it too, but, you know, Friday night, down in Carolina, 8 o'clock, ESPN, boom, done.
It's a Friday, then it's Saturday, Sunday.
That's something to look forward to. You don't remember
Friday.
Seven-game series. Think about where we were in the middle of the previous series.
Yeah.
Down 3-1.
Yeah, just playing ugly, ugly hockey.
Oh.
I mean, you calling up from home, just ripping everybody. It was the worst performance you've ever seen in the playoffs.
Oh, it was terrible.
And now you're here. Started at the bottom, now you're here. Yeah, I wonder if this is one of those Friday nights where Al will actually sit down and watch the game. Like, oh, he's screening a phone call. But I'm sure, because, you know, he's during the week, he doesn't watch these Ranger games. But he says he's into the Rangers, so you're going to actually sit down on Friday night with a couple of Miller Lights, 8 o'clock puck drop on a Friday night and watch the game?
I'll peek in on that.
You'll peek in. Give it a little once-over?
Give it a once-over, see how it's going. I'll get the vibe of the place.
Give it a once-over.
8 o'clock, so he'll be back in his house 2.5 hours after going out to dinner.
Yeah. So you just pop it on, maybe watch the first couple minutes of the first period.
It'll put me to sleep. I'll ease into the night.
Ease into the night with playoff hockey. That's not the way it's supposed to work.
No, I do like watching playoff hockey.
You think that there's a chance on a Friday night where you don't have to get up, well, you do have to get up to walk the dog, but you don't have to get up early to come into work, that you get sucked in so much from the intensity of the playoff hockey game that you watch the whole thing?
If it's a tight game, I can't be the
really? You're not just saying that?
Yeah. If someone's up 3 goals, I'm out.
I'll tell you what, somebody was up 3 goals last night, and the game ended up 9-6. That's how crazy it was out there in Calgary between them and Edmonton.
I don't know how you watch more hockey than just the Rangers. I mean, it's amazing to me.
It's crazy.
There's so much energy that and focus that you put into the Rangers series. Like, how do you have any more left to give to the Calgary Flames, you know?
By the way, in between periods, I don't need to hear, like, sometimes I like to hear what they have to say, especially if a Ranger team is playing really, really good or really, really poor. But that wasn't the case last night. They were playing good. So I was flipping around last night, and I was watching Cole and Scherzer.
Yeah, I mean, last night was great during the I never watch the in-between periods when there's baseball on, because it's like, just find out what's going on.
Especially when those two pitchers are pitching.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Speaking of that, Chris is in the Bronx. What's going on, Chris?
What's up, boys? How you doing?
Good, Chris. What you got for us?
Oh, the hockey talk is killing me, man. It's killing me. I know Gio hates hockey, Al hates hockey, but they tolerate it for you, Booms. They know you're going to talk it. So, great baseball season we got going, man. We got two of the best baseball teams in the game in this city. Mets are doing great. Yankees are doing great. Cole used to get ripped apart. Now he kills it every 5 days. Don't hear nothing about it. Come on, boys.
I mean, I think we have been talking about baseball fairly. It is in the middle of the season. It's a very early part of the season, and we've talked about the Yankees' schedule ad nauseum. I don't know what else we can do.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we've talked plenty of baseball. If anybody's criticizing us for the lack of baseball talk, I mean, right. For Christ's sakes, I mean, we've talked more baseball than anything else.
Go watch High Heat, man, if you want. Jesus.
Let's see. So, Gerrit Cole, just to go back, I mean, since April 24th.
Yes.
6 innings, no earned runs. Next start, 6 innings, no earned runs. Next start, 6 1/3, 1 earned run. Next start, 6 innings, 3 earned runs. And then last night, 6 innings, 2 earned runs.
All right, so let me ask you a question.
He's been really, really good.
All right. Isn't that what he's paid to do?
Yeah, but I think the point from Chris was that he was getting roasted there for a while.
Because he wasn't doing what he was supposed to do.
So.
And they also took the spider tack out.
Yeah, so, I mean... But we sat there and we talked about maybe this pitcher is not who we thought he was. He seemed to have, at least for the time being,
settled everybody down, doing what he's supposed to do, and living up to his contract.
Damn right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry Recco with us from home to give us an update. Today is the start of the PGA Championship. So I don't know if it's the weather is a factor out there like it is here. Let's hope not.
It's supposed to be very hot.
Very hot.
And they're going to be playing it at Southern Hills out in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And it's about 7,600 total yards. It's a behemoth of a golf course.
Mm, sounds like it.
Oh, man.
The five golfers at Boomer and Geo are throwing their support behind.
Yes.
Are Scottie Scheffler again, Patrick Cantlay, Jordan Spieth, Xander Schauffele, and Justin Thomas. So there you go. Those are the Boomer and Geo picks, and that's who we're throwing our support behind for the PGA Championship, if you'd like to follow along with us. All right, Jerry, what's going on, man?
Well, we're powered by Superbook, featuring better odds and favorable prices, and we're also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Now, I think it's fair to say we all like to place a wager once in a while. Is that fair?
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You guys like your FanDuel. I like BetMGM. We're all good. How about this? And Al and I always talk about how life can change in a blink.
Mm.
Right? You can make a bad decision once in a while. So I found this online, and this comes from the New York Times. Residents of a rural Japanese town were each looking forward to receiving a $775 payment last month as part of a coronavirus pandemic stimulus program. Seems fair. A municipal official, however, by mistake, wired the entire budget of $360,000 to one person, who said, no problem, I'll give it back. Except when they asked for it back, he gambled it all away in an online casino.
No.
Yes. He was arrested.
Like online blackjack or something?
Yeah.
Wow.
This guy's just humming along, and all of a sudden this money shows up, and he gambles it all away.
When did Eddie Erickson move to Japan?
No.
Oh.
It's not Eddie Erickson.
No. Okay.
That's terrible. Isn't that terrible, though? Holy cow.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
that Eddie Erickson was the old Mike and the Mad Dog producer, used to play online blackjack in the control room a lot.
Oh, I didn't know. I did not know that.
Yeah, it was an inside joke, but I had to get it out there. Eddie got it.
Oh, yes.
That's all I needed was just an audience in front of me. Somebody laughing at it. That's all I needed.
And if Sal is awake, he's laughing somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Or crying.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, Sal.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to last night. Boomer was crying, and he wasn't, though, for like 50-something minutes because the Rangers were doing really well in Carolina. Although they hadn't scored as much as they could, they did have a one-goal lead, and then that lead vanished.
Carolina now throws it out for us. Oh, who back in? He scores! Sebastian Aho ties it at one with 2:23 left in the third period.
Boomer.
Wow,
that was Eddie. That was not me. Oh. You can hear the difference in my voice. That was a tape. So we were even, and we'd go to overtime. And in the overtime, you know how fans are always screaming to these guys, shoot the damn puck?
Yeah.
Well, last night, Carolina got a guy that just shot the puck when he had really nowhere else to go with it.
Knocked down by Truba.
That was Hurricanes Radio with both calls. 2-1, the final score. Carolina takes the opener of this conference semifinal. As we said, the Rangers really controlled this game, at least for the first two periods and parts of the third before Carolina got it going. Here is Rod Brind'Amour. Yeah, we played with desperation down the stretch for sure.
We raised the level of our game, the intensity, and played with a little more desperation. That's what we needed. We were lacking a little of that for two periods, and obviously it doesn't always work out, but we had a real good third period, obviously, and that got us back in the game, and then obviously carried over into overtime.
And no excuses from the Ranger head coach, Gerard Gallant.
Well, we didn't sit back, but they made a push, you know. I mean, the guys, we talk about it between periods, continue to play the same way. And, you know, again, they put some pucks in there. They hit the cycle going, and they were desperate, and they played real hard. And, you know, that's hockey.
Igor Shesterkin, 24 saves.
He's very, like, nonchalant about everything.
Yeah, I know.
Even when they get killed. I will say, there's no panic in his voice.
Stays very grounded.
Yeah, that I will give him that. There's no question about that.
It should be noted.
There's no R's in his voice either.
Yeah.
It should be noted that the game-winning goal was a deflection. Was it Ryan Lindgren?
Yes.
Who it hit off of, so yep. It wasn't like Shesterkin missed it. It was deflected past him. Here was Philip Hedel. He scored the one goal in the loss. He can be two down for what we did.
We had a lot of good chances. We scored only one, but yeah, just we can take a lot of positives to another game and build on this game.
And that another game will be tomorrow night in Carolina. Again, the Hurricanes up one game. Tonight, Flames beat the Oilers last night, 9-6, the hat trick from Matthew Tkachuk. All right, the other big story in New York would be on the diamond, and that, of course, Max Scherzer. But before we get to Scherzer, the Mets had to score some runs for him, and we take it to the bottom of the fifth inning. The Mets using some small ball to score some runs.
First pitch. He bunts up the first baseline. McNeil digging for the plate. Goldschmidt fields the ball. Flips to first in time to get Guillorme. Not a suicide squeeze. A safety squeeze, if you like.
And that was a great bunt, by the way.
Sure was.
That was a great bunt.
Yep. They scored on a sac fly, just a regular routine ground ball, base hit to left. That bunt. All was good, at least you thought. And then came the top of the sixth.
Scherzer talks to everybody around the mound. He's not speaking quite as confidently or as angrily as he usually does, and I think he's coming out of this game.
Well, so much for squeezing another inning after this one out of him. Max Scherzer is walking off.
That was Howie and Wayne Randazzo on WCBS 880. Side soreness for Scherzer, who will get the MRI done today.
Here and was also tested for tuberculosis.
Hopefully came back negative.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of that.
Yeah.
Did you see, what the hell is monkeypox?
Yeah, monkeypox?
Yeah, there was a first case of monkeypox in the United States. Now, the guy that came down with it actually went up to Canada and then came back. So they're thinking that he may have caught it up there.
I'm not getting a monkeypox vaccine now.
They said that they want to test him again, but he's up in a tree and won't come.
How long are you sitting on that one?
You're such a jackass.
It's an old like Letterman joke from when a guy had a baboon heart replacement or something.
That caught me off guard. That's funny. Here was Buck Showalter. Max Scherzer, you know what? That was a long inning where the Mets scored a bunch of runs in the bottom of the fifth. Perhaps that caused it?
There were a lot of long innings. Yeah, because obviously their guy was having trouble with his command, and I'm sure there was maybe some of that involved. That's part of pitching up here. It's not always exactly 8 minutes between innings.
Can't you see the new analytic already? How long is too long for a team to be hitting to send your pitcher back out so he doesn't hurt himself?
No, yeah, of course. I know.
Which sounds stupid, but would you be shocked? No.
No, not at all. I mean, they talk about the up-downs and dry humps and stuff like that when it comes to the bullpen guys. I mean, this is sort of the same type of thing. Guys sitting there for a while, getting cold, everything else. Yeah, it'll
pretty
happen.
Much. Here was Scherzer. He says he's actually been dealing with this a little bit.
Yeah, my, you know, kind of side was kind of tight all today. You know, in the sixth, there, you know, in that pool so bad, you know, just felt a zing on my left side and just knew I was done.
And he was zing. Done.
Yeah, when did side injuries become in vogue? This was not a thing when, I mean, not to sound like the old baseball fan, but when I was growing up, side injuries really, I never heard anybody having side injuries.
Neither was Tommy John surgery.
That's true. You're right. Absolutely.
I mean, it's nuts. Here was Pete Alonso. He homered in this game late, had a three-run shot. He was on SNY just hoping all is good.
I don't really know to the extent of it, but he's a bulldog, and he always competes, and I hope that it's not a big deal. And whatever it is, I hope he recovers quickly from it.
Mets now 25-14 with the win. They will wrap things up with the Cardinals today. Chris Bassett makes the start on WCBS 880 at 1:10 p.m. As for the Yankees, this torrid start and stretch continues. Now 28-9. They didn't have a lot of offense yesterday, but they got in the first inning.
The 2-2 swung on, hit in the air to deep right. Away back, Santander can't do it. It's over his head, up against the wall. And one run scores. Here comes Donaldson, and they throw the ball in. Donaldson has to hold it third.
Yeah, that was John Sterling.
Yay!
With the call.
Yay!
On the fan. Made it 1-0 in the first. The Yankees would then score not one, but two runs on a wild pitch as the Orioles are throwing the ball all over the place. And 3-2 would be the final score as Garrett Cole was good. Got another win as he remains unbeaten on the season. In terms of where the Yankees are, we talk about the 5.5-game lead. The Rays did win yesterday as well. But the Yankees 28-9. Aaron Boone says, nice start. But my goodness, it's still May.
We also understand, you know, it's very early. You know, I keep saying that. We understand that. But the more we can pile up right now, you know, make it easier on us down the road.
And that's your point, Boomer.
Yeah, he sees the schedule and what's going on.
Take advantage of these crappy teams because you ain't giving these wins back. That's for damn sure. Here was Cole. He knows defensively the team was good.
Rizzo made a great play, like, nice shot, like, taking a shot at home, that's great, you know, but the stop to keep him in front of it is even better, so we won tonight on defense and base running, to be honest.
The Yankees will go for the sweep this afternoon. They will have Jordan Montgomery on the mound, coverage at 11:55, nice early start of 12:35 from Baltimore. From the NFL, we mentioned this last hour, James Bradbury deciding on a new team, that will be the Philadelphia Eagles. Here he was on NBC Sports Philly talking about why.
I saw the guys that they put with the D-line, and as a DB,
Sometimes your best friend is the D-line, so I'm looking forward to it.
So he stays inside the NFC East, likes the roster. It was a one-year deal for Bradbury. NBA playoffs, talking about the Western Conference Finals. It was the Mavericks at Golden State, and this game was all Golden State. They wound up winning 112-87. Here was Jason Kidd. They shot it terribly. Matter of fact, they missed. I think they were 11 of 48 from 3, something like that. I mentioned last hour, 3 of 19 in the first quarter alone. Here was Kidd, who knows you can be positive because if the ball goes in, they might win some games.
There were a lot of great looks. It just didn't go down. It happens. It's basketball. Hopefully we get those same looks in game two, and we believe we'll make them.
25-point win for Klay Thompson and the group. He had 15. He says it's just one game.
It's just one game. Right. And yeah, sure. We can feel good now, but this team was down 2-0 and won the series last round.
In fairness, I wrote can't get overconfident and changed on the fly, and I got burned. Anyway,
just one game.
Yeah, just one
update,
game.
Jerry. Just one update.
Steph Curry had 21 points to lead the way. Andrew Wiggins had 19. So 1-0 series lead for Golden State. You've got the Heat and the Celtics tonight. Miami taking game one the other day in Miami, as we know. And you mentioned the start of the PGA Championship, Southern Hills. I believe Tiger Woods, a 9:11 tee time.
That's right.
And then your other guys. I think John Daly, I think, kicks this thing off.
He does, 8 o'clock.
At 8 o'clock. So away we go with the PGA Championship.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Rangers lose last night in overtime. Game one, down 1-0 to the Carolina Hurricanes. 877-337-6666. Mets win. Max Scherzer leaves the game. And, of course, the Yankees continue to roll. Gerrit Cole performance decent. And they beat the Orioles again. Now, this rain is supposed to move through, yes? And the Mets should be able to play today.
Yes.
So if you're heading out to the game, I think that is what's going on.
I think it should be a reasonably nice afternoon.
Once all this slop gets out of here.
And let's win this series. Let's not split.
Yeah, I know. That would be nice. Did you hear what Nick Saban said about Texas A&M?
Yep, and it's a big problem in college sports. Yes, 100% I heard it.
So what he said was, in regards to the name, image, and likeness situation, that Texas A&M bought every player that's on their team. Now, these are the rules, though, aren't they?
Well, depending on how these players are bought, the schools can buy the players. Now, boosters outside of the schools can create these loosely formed groups, and they can pay these players for, I guess, their name, image, and likeness. You know, and this is, I'm telling you, schools like Rutgers and Maryland.
They got no shot.
Forget it. It's not happening. I mean, like, I would give money.
Do they ever really have a shot, though? You know, would be my argument.
They don't, because they always played by the rules for the most part.
Yeah.
For the most part, they always played by the rules. There was no cash under the table. You're not getting this. You're not getting that. You're not signing with Under Armour if you go to Maryland. That's just not happening.
Yeah.
Or at least back then it wasn't happening. And they... And we've never had any sort of suspensions or any sort of investigations or any of that crap. We have run a clean program at the University of Maryland, which is something as an alum I'm extremely proud of.
Yeah.
Now, it hasn't come with a lot of winning. There's no chance for national championships, especially in football. But for basketball now, I mean, they're trying to raise money, not the university itself, but people outside the university itself. I'm like, wait a minute, am I writing a check to the University of Maryland for scholarships, or am I writing a check to University of Maryland now outside the university for some booster to give 50 grand to some kid who's 17 years old to come and play a school? So in other words, the scholarship's not enough now.
Well, it's
now,
two completely different things.
Right, yeah. Now, if you told me that that kid's coming to the University of Maryland and he got to deal with, say, Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
And Dunkin' Donuts, you know, wanted to give him $50,000 to be able to use his name, image, and likeness on local cups or something like that. I'm fine with that. But I'm not putting any money in to pay some kid to go to the school that I love, that I had such a great experience at, and spent 5 years of my life there.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sorry. I'm out now. I'm done. This is ridiculous. And quite frankly, the other thing the NCAA just did, just so you know this... is they relaxed the inter-conference division alignment rules, meaning that the conferences hated the fact that they had to come up with divisions, and division winners would then be in those conference championship games. And the reason they hated that is because most likely the two best teams would come from the same division within the same conference, and they wouldn't be in the conference championship game, but now they will. And the Pac-12 was the first, as I saw, to dissolve the whole division thing.
Yeah, like the ACC, for example, there's a lot of, like, the ACC Coastal Division has always got, you know, like, not a lot of great teams there, especially when Miami is down. Like, I feel like they are not, they don't do much, where the other
side
of it...
You know it's going to be Clemson.
The other side of it has Clemson in it.
Right, you know it's going to be Clemson, but the thing, the point being is that, and I think the Pac-12 has had five instances of this, where they've had, I believe, two top 10 teams.
Mm-hmm.
That did not play for the conference championship. It was one of those teams, because one of those teams would have won that one division, and then I think UCLA in 1 year won the other division, and they ended up getting smoked. So, like, Stanford and Oregon should have been, by definition, the two best teams in the conference, should have played each other again, but they didn't because they were in the same division, and they should have played each other again for the conference championship. So all of... this whole landscape thing is changing.
Don't you think Saban's going to get a lot of backlash from this? Because he, I mean, it's not like Alabama's not paying people. I mean, he was bragging last year that his quarterback, Bryce Young, got $1 million.
Yeah, but it wasn't from Alabama. I think he is claiming that Texas A&M is doing this booster thing, and the boosters are figuring out ways to pay all these kids to come to school. That's the difference. Like, Bryce Young... is not getting it from the University of Alabama. I don't know. Maybe he is. I'm not sure. I'm not sure where any of this money is coming from.
Yeah.
All I know is that it has created really a major uneven playing field. And the NCAA basically has very little power to control any of it.
No, of course not. I mean, they're, as you've said many times before, the feckless.
Oh.
NCAA.
Right, but, you know, and you know, quite frankly, some of the nil deals are good, but when you start getting boosters trying to pull money together to now sign players via that vehicle as opposed to, you know, clothing deals or Dunkin' Donuts type deals or whatever else, now you're talking about a whole different set of circumstances.
Let's go to Will, who's on Long Island. What's going on, Will?
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing?
Good.
All right, Will, what's happening?
So, I wanted to say... The endorsement deals and everything is actually getting really crazy. I actually know about a few D1 lacrosse guys that got endorsement deals with clothing brands. And so I feel like if lacrosse guys are getting deals, Rutgers football should definitely be able to get their guys something.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they'll get the guy something, but think about who they're competing against in the Big Ten.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm sure Rutgers has its share of boosters and does well there in terms of fundraising. They would fundraise for, I don't know, maybe they'd want to build a new basketball practice facility, or maybe they're putting money into scholarships through the athletic department and through their alumni association. That's a totally different set of circumstances. It sounds like what Nick Saban is saying is that Texas A&M and their boosters pulled a bunch of money and then gave it to these recruits to come to Texas A&M. You know, and I'm giving a 17-year-old kid $100,000 to come to my school top of the scholarship.
I mean,
why even have him go to school anymore? Just have him play.
Yeah. Just have him play. I think, and there's, you know what? There's a lot of boosters out there that want to see their team win so desperately that they wouldn't even care.
Don't go to class.
It's a distraction.
I can think about Kentucky basketball, Louisville basketball. I do believe, and I don't want to put words in his mouth either, but I think this is one of the reasons why Jay Wright retired.
Maybe.
I'm not doing this. I mean, like, the recruiting is, like, insane.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.